Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word preserved for us in the Bible. We thank you that your Holy Spirit inspired these words and that he can help us to understand them today. So we pray for your grace, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. John Lees, a careers writer and author of The Secrets of Resilient People, has written this recently. Human beings respond in different ways to external forces. Even a minor knockback can weaken self-esteem in some. Others weather storms with little or no effect on their efficiency or sense of well-being. Some crumble, some cope. Some not only survive, but thrive under considerable pressure. This is resilience. And he goes on, we need to know what drives resilience, why some people lack it, and whether it can be strengthened. Well, being resilient and having confidence to face challenges is something that we see illustrated in our next psalm as we continue our series on these Old Testament hymns or poems. So if you've got a Bible in front of you, do turn to page 571 and Psalm 56. Now, Psalm 56 is one of those psalms where we're told that there is a particular context. In the title, in the small print, as Hugh read for us, we read, "To the choirmaster, according to the dove on far-off terebinths, a miktam of David, when the Philistines seized him in Gath." So this is a psalm of great King David, as around half of them are. And it refers to a particular incident in the Old Testament history book of 1 Samuel chapter 21. David has to run away from the earlier king Saul, who is angry and jealous of him because of David's military successes. Now, David couldn't trust anyone in Israel because an informer might tell Saul where he was and he would be in great danger. In desperation, David went to the neighbouring country and the Philistine city of Gath, famous as Giant Goliath's hometown. Well, here, perhaps not surprisingly, given what David had done to Goliath, there was no help. Indeed, the king in Gath was hostile to David. And so he found himself doubly surrounded by enemies. Well, the pressure and difficulty caused by this opposition is clear as we read through the psalm. David cries out to God for help. Verse 1, "Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me." Now, interestingly, David asks for God's undeserved help. He says, "God, be gracious to me." He knows he himself is not completely guiltless and needs God to show him favour and mercy. But he cries out, especially because of the opposition that he faces. Verse 2, "My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly." And he continues to tell God about the pressures that he faces. Verse 5, "All day long they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited for my life." The hounding by those who oppose David means that they seek to misrepresent him, to twist his words. They desire him harm. They wind others up to be against him. Ultimately, it seems, they want to take his very life. Now, David's experience might be unusually difficult, but of course there are Christian believers around the world facing similar opposition even today, more indeed than we hear about on our television screens. Pressures as tyrannical states or terrorist groups persecute Christians. And on a lesser scale, there are believers who face misunderstanding or insensitive mocking or teasing at work or misrepresentation in their families. And all of us face attacks from the unseen spiritual opposition that the Bible often speaks of. We face an enemy in the devil and his agents who seek to drag us down and to discourage us. Well, how does David respond? Is there something in his approach to pressure as a godly Israelite that can help us as believers today? Well, David brings it all to God in prayer. He tells it to God as it is. Something we see a lot of in the Psalms. There's plenty of precedent for honestly pouring out our hearts to God in prayer. But David also prays that justice would be done. Verse 7, for their crime, that is his opponents, will they escape, he says to God. In wrath cast down the peoples, O God. Now, whilst we know that Jesus taught his people to be good towards their enemies, and indeed to pray for those who persecute us, not seeking revenge, we know that in the end, God will bring justice. And this is something that we can pray about and seek encouragement from being reminded of. And that is also true about the insight that David gives us in verse 8. He says to God in his prayer, you have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? You see, God understands what we go through. There's nothing unnoticed by God. Nothing wasted. The private moments of intense anxiety. The times when we cry and no one else knows. Well, God knows. He even counts the tears and, as it were, collects them in his bottle. But perhaps the most insightful part of David's resilient response to opposition is in his repeated refrain that we find from verse 3 and then from verse 9. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? And then verse 9, this I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? You see, despite his understandable fear in the face of serious opposition, David seeks to put his confidence in God. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. There may be powerful kings against him, but in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? It may be his troubles are caused by powerful human leaders, but, verse 9, this I know, that God is for me. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Whatever we face, whatever seems against us, mere flesh, finite man is no match for the true and living God. Now, it's interesting that David's affirmation of his confidence in God, rather than simply listening to his fear, are seen not as just, as it were, an emotional reaction, but rather as an act of the will. He looks to God as his helper, rather than simply looking at the situation that he is in. But how do we put our trust in God? Well, David's example here is very important. Three times, he connects his dependence on God in the face of difficulty with a particular discipline. Verse 3, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. And verse 9, this I know, that God is for me, in God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise. See, David, who had God's word recorded from the giving of the law through Moses, and who had God's word through the prophets, dwelt on those truths from God. He chewed them over, and he prayed using God's word, recognizing the beauty and the benefits of what God has revealed. And this is a key thing to do in the face of opposition and struggle of whatever sort. We can take God's word from the Bible and ponder God's promises and his assurances, We can repeat them to ourselves, learn them, and seek to hold on to these rather than be overwhelmed by the trouble and pressure that we face. Well, reading Psalm 56 by King David also makes believers think of another king. We see, as we have called this sermon series, that the Psalms are songs of Jesus. And here we find a psalm that could well be a prayer of Jesus himself. Jesus, who faced tremendous opposition from other human beings, hounding him, misrepresenting him and his words, misunderstanding him, attacking him, and threatening to take his life. As we heard in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, Jesus began to teach his friends that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed. So this psalm, crying out for God's help in the face of pressure, fits Jesus so poignantly. And what's more, as the one who has faced such opposition himself, we can pray this psalm, when under pressure, as a prayer to Jesus. God, the eternal Son, who, having lived on earth as a man, understands and shares our human experience. And it is also a psalm here that tells us about Jesus. Indeed, it is fulfilled through him. When David concludes his prayer, after expressing his confidence in God and being strengthened by looking to God and his word, he adds, verse 12, "I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you." A life of gratitude and service to God is appropriate, having been delivered in this way. And then verse 13, "For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life." You see, David sees himself as one who has been rescued from death at this point in his life. But he points forward to one who will defeat death ultimately for those who depend on him. Mark 8:31 tells us, "Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again." So Jesus, who perfectly trusted God the Father, praised God's word, taught it, and used it to overcome the devil's opposition in the wilderness. Jesus, who lived God's word and fulfilled it completely, was proved right by being raised from the dead in order to walk before God in the light of life. So Jesus' life and death and resurrection that we remember in Holy Communion this morning are for us the basis of our confidence in God and his word. And this is what builds our resilience in life. Well, Psalm 56 has a clear echo many centuries later in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans. He would have known it well. And as he explains the victory of Jesus, it informs his message. So Romans 8:31. "What then shall we say to these things?" That is God's remarkable love for us in the good news. "If God is for us, who can be against us?" And this confidence assurance is then tied directly to the death of Jesus for us. "He who then did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" In other words, if God gave us his son, then we know that he is for us. And therefore we need fear no one else. What can mere mortals do to us? And then he goes on. "We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. By being united to Jesus through faith in his death and resurrection, there is the possibility of more resilience in the face of difficulties in this life and full victory in the next. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that you have revealed yourself to us in your word. And we pray that you would build that grace and strength and resilience in us, in our lives, that we would put our confidence in you, that we would hold fast to the promises of your word, and that we would keep remembering Jesus, who was brought back from the dead, who walked before you in the light of life, and promises that we can do the same. And we ask for his sake.